Greetings, friends, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. This morning we are looking at our prophets portion for the week, and if you've already listened to the Torah portion for the week, the portion is called Vayishlach, and what we're going to be covering in the prophets portion is the book of Hosea, chapter 11, starting with verse 7 through chapter 12, verses 12, and then the whole book of Obadiah, which happens to only be 21 verses, and then 10 verses out of the Gospel of Matthew. And what we seem to be dealing with is basically judgment on the descendants of Esau. The whole, you know, Obadiah is about the judgment coming on Edom, coming on Esau, his descendants, that is. And in the book of Matthew, we're dealing with the passage where we have the murder of all the two-year-olds and under as King Herod is trying to destroy the Messiah. And we have that famous passage about Rachel weeping for her children. And because it took place in Bethlehem. And so that's kind of the theme for this morning's study. Not a lot of commentary is going to be coming from my part. We're mostly just going to be reading it, and I just pray in the name of Jesus that it blesses you. I will be reading from the King James Bible this morning. Let's go ahead and start with Hosea, starting with verse 7 in chapter 11. Let's begin. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zebim? Mine heart is turned within me, my repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord, he shall roar like a lion when he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. Ephraim feedeth on the wind, and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. And they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. He is a merchant, and the balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich, I have found me out substance. In all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and use similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilead, yea, their altars are heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled to the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And that is our Hosea, chapter 11, verse 7 through 12, verses 12. A couple of things that jump out to me. In our Torah portion yesterday, I made the argument that he was actually wrestling with God, because after he gets done wrestling with the being, with the person, he says, "I have seen God face to face and have prevailed." And here, in the King James Bible, in Hosea, it says that Jacob wrestled with an angel. So who knows? Maybe it's the angel of Yehovah. It's hard to say these things. It says he had power over the angel, and he prevailed, and he wept, and he made supplication unto him, and he found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. And you know, I just kind of love how they've tied all this together. You know, the prophet's portion, it deals with the locations that were the same in the gospel portions. Things of that nature. Just really, really like it. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. That can be a line for us today. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. All right. Let's take a look at the book of Obadiah. And like I said, we're going to read the entire book of Obadiah. Why? Because Obadiah is only 21 verses long. So let's have a look. Starting with verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. Remember, Edom is Esau. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, "Who shall bring me down to the ground?" I gotta stop. Man, that could be a warning for the world leaders today, those who have set themselves on high, who think that they cannot be brought down. Their hearts are filled with pride. They act as if Yehovah doesn't even exist. There is no God. They mock the Lord Jesus Christ. They mock his followers. They feed on the people. The day of the Lord is coming upon the whole earth, and none shall escape it. And just like in Revelation, they will hide in the rocks, they will hide in the mountains and beg for the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the face of the Lamb. Let's continue. I'm going to reread that verse, verse 3. The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, "Who shall bring me down to the ground?" Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they have not stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Timon, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. I think this is interesting. It calls out somebody by name in verse 9. I don't have time to research it today, but maybe that can be a homework assignment for somebody out there. And thy mighty men, O Timon, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Verse 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. And in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, and in the day that the strangers carried away captives, his forces, foreigners, entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem. Even thou wast one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall be not any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Shepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And Savior shall come upon on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And that is the book of Obadiah, dealing with the complete annihilation being proclaimed upon the descendants of Esau. And even that verse could potentially be a verse for the end times for us today. For the day of the Lord is near upon the heathen. As thou hast done it, shall it be done to thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head. And as you know, I believe that scripture is living and has multiple fulfillments potentially to prophecy. And the example that I always use is the one that's actually found in the gospel portion today. And so we're reading chapter 2, starting with verse 13 through verse 23. Let's have a look. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son. And guess what? He's quoting Hosea chapter 1. And so let's go ahead and quickly go back to the book of Hosea. And I'm just going to pull it up online so I don't have to sift through the Bible here. Hosea chapter 1. Very first verse, I believe. Shouldn't do things like this on the fly. And the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea the son of Beeri, the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam the son of Josash, the king of Israel. Oh, it's 11:1, not chapter 1. See, this is why I don't do things on the fly like this. When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and called my son out of Egypt. Now, of course, Hosea is clearly, in any Hebrew reading this, in the day of Hosea, would have known that God was, and Hosea was clearly referring to the Exodus out of Egypt. When Israel was a child, I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt. But we get to the book of Matthew, and we get to verse 15 of chapter 2, and talking about how he was in Egypt, and he says, "And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet," which we know the prophet to be Hosea, "saying, out of Egypt have I called my son." So here we have a verse that is fulfilled in a way that nobody would have imagined it being fulfilled in the future. And so when we read the Word of God and we read the prophecies and we argue over what they mean and who they're directed to, let us not forget the Word is living. And there's some things that, you know, a lot of end time prophecy happened in 70 AD that gets confused with today. But there could be like situations that take place even today. And so let's be careful about this. There's going to be some things fulfilled in these last days that none of us expected because we just glossed over the verses, didn't even know them to be prophetic, much like this one here. Let's continue. Verse 16. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and he sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not." Now he's referring to Jeremiah chapter 31. So let's go have a look. And I'm not sure why the King James Bible translates it as Jeremy. I always think that's interesting. Jeremiah 31:15. "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." So this is the great fulfillment of that prophecy, that all these children two and under in Bethlehem were slaughtered. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted because they were not. And of course, if you would have been reading this in the day of Jeremiah, there was probably a now fulfillment and a future fulfillment. Nobody could have imagined what the future fulfillment would have been, right? At the time of the birth of Messiah. All right, almost done here. A couple more verses. "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and he took the young child and his mother, and he came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene." Now, I don't have time to dig into this, but when there's an apparent contradiction, I don't think we shy from it. I think we get invigorated by it to try to seek out the answer. But this one may be hard to discover. And that is finding a passage in the Old Testament where a prophet says anything about it being fulfilled, or that it would be fulfilled that he would come from Nazareth. And even in the notes here in this Bible, it says probably referring to Isaiah 11:1. But we don't know, so let's go look at Isaiah 11:1 and see if it's a long way to walk for that or not. You know, it's also possible that we just don't have the text that it's in. "And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And so they think maybe it's referring to this. Maybe it's just a really poor translation in English. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So, I think it's because the Hebrew word, and we don't have time to study this, but if I remember correctly, the last time I ran into this, it had something to do with the Hebrew word for stem or roots, or one of those words is Nazaret or something like that. I'm gonna have to pull it up. I just can't let it go. Give me one second here to pull it up in Hebrew so I can look for sure for myself. Okay, I got it pulled up here, and it is, as I suspected, that word. Oh, I just had it pulled up. Yeah, the branch is the word Netzer. And maybe they're getting Nazarene from that, is the speculation. And of course, Netzer means a sprout, a shoot, a branch. And in this particular word, it's always used figuratively. So it's possible that that's what it's referring to, and that's where it's coming up with that information. But we don't know for sure, do we? Well, that is the end of our study for this morning, and like it does a lot of times with me, we end up leaving with more questions than questions answered. But I think that's, personally, I think that's great. I think it gives you reason to study. All right, that's all I got time for. Peace and grace be with all of you. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God bless.